Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Some Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Go away, leave this area, because Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons, and I perform healings today and tomorrow, and on the third day I accomplish my purpose. Yet I must continue on my way today, tomorrow, and the following day, for it is impossible that a prophet should die outside of Jerusalem.'" Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how many times I yearn to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you are unwilling. Behold, your house will be abandoned. But I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Yesterday, St. Paul told us in his first letter to the in the first reading from his letter to the Romans that we know, we're absolutely convinced, that all things work out for the good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, those who love the Lord, who know that nothing that comes can distance us from the Lord, because everything is meant to make us better, to conform us more and more to the image of his Son, Christ. And today Paul builds on that thought. If God is for us, and he is for us as our most loving Father, who can be against us? He who didn't even spare his own Son, but handed him over for us all, will he not give us everything else besides, everything else we really need? That expression basically says that when God the Father was given a choice between letting his Son be brutally murdered or letting you die forever and me, he loved us more. He chose that so that we wouldn't die forever. Then he goes on in one of the most beautiful parts in sacred scripture, that if we have self-esteem problems, if we're really down in the dumps, we just need to play over and over and over and over and over and over again. "I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things in the future, nor things in the present, nor powers, heights, depths, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That those who love God know that omnia in bonum, all things work out for the good, even if we die, even if there's a sword, or anguish, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword. Even if we're being tortured on account of our faith, that can't separate us from the love of God. He's loving us even still. This is one of the most important things for us to grasp as Christians. Nothing, from God's point of view, will ever separate us from our love. Even if we become the worst sinner who ever lived, nothing will separate us from the love of God from his perspective. The only thing that can separate us from the Lord's love is our unwillingness to receive it. Jesus today, after that dialogue about Herod, "Go tell that slyly destructive man, that fox, that this is what I'm going to do these next few days, even if he's trying to kill me." But Herod had a lot of advisors around him, and he said, "The prophet will die in Jerusalem." So he's not afraid. He knows he's going to get to Jerusalem first, and that's when it's going to occur. But that's when he then laments over Jerusalem, about his incredible love for us. Jerusalem symbolizes all that God had tried to do with his people before Jesus himself came. How many times I yearn to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. But you were unwilling. I wanted to love you in this way, but you didn't want it. That's the one thing that can separate us from the love of God. Not because He ever stops loving us, but because we close ourselves to that love and can't receive it because we don't want to receive it. So the question for us is, are we open to that love? Or are we closed to it? Now, most times Catholics are going to say, of course I'm open to the love of God. Why would I ever close myself off from it? But in a practical reality, most of us are not really open to letting God love us precisely in the way that He wants to, precisely in the way that's most fit for us to receive the fullness of His love. If God says, I want to love you through the cross, most of us say, no. But even at another level, we live our Christian life as if 99% depends on us sometimes, than as if all depends on the love of God. The single first principle in our Christian faith is that God madly loves us. If we don't grasp that, everything else is built on a false foundation. I'm a spiritual director to many who come to see me, people who are very committed to the Christian life, nuns, priests, seminarians, consecrated women. And a lot of the times, even though they're doing so much good for the Lord, they have framed their entire Christian life the way Martha tried to serve Jesus, doing a gazillion things for the Lord without recognizing, as Mary did, that Jesus had come to their house in Bethany to feed them rather than to be fed, to love them first rather than to be loved by them. A lot of the times we don't grasp that. We're so caught up with the works of God that we don't allow God in. Not because we're opposed at a theoretical level to what God wants to do, but at a practical level, we don't make space. First thing we do when we come to pray in the morning, first thing we should do is not just get out our prayer books and start going through a litany of the types of things we pray. There's nothing bad there. But the first thing we should do when we come to pray is to remember how happy we've made God. He loves, even if we're coming straight out of the pigsty full of pig dung, as the prodigal sons and daughters, He is so happy we are here. We're His beloved children. He wants to give Himself to us in prayer. And we always need to start with that reality. Just a little personal witness. It was until I was 29, after I was ordained a priest, that I grasped this. I hadn't grasped it before at an existential level. Of course, I had already given many homilies on the love of God. I had written many papers on the love of God. At an intellectual level, I could exegete St. John's passages like crazy, that God is love and that love one another as I have loved you. But at a personal level, I hadn't grasped it. It happened on December 30th, which happens to be the feast of St. Roger. I was at the top of the Via della Conciliazione, and I saw a religious sister who I knew, about 20 years older than I. She was telling a story about a common priest friend we had. And she just blurted out at the top of the Via della Conciliazione, you know, that's why I love Father Roger so much. And I was kind of paralyzed there. The sister had said in an indirect, totally chaste way that she loved me. And you know that I'm never speechless. I was totally speechless. And I went back to the North American College and was just like, why couldn't I just say to this woman, I love you back in a totally chaste way? Even though a priestly vocation is all supposed to be about love, that the vocation of every Christian, like St. Thérèse Lisieux, is to be love in the heart of the church. I couldn't say it back. I was paralyzed. 6 weeks later, February 7th, Another sister from another community said to me after a Mass that I had celebrated, "Father Roger, I love you so much. Thank you." And again, I mean, I was still verklempt. 9 days after that, a third sister from another community came on up and told me the same thing. And it was finally at that point that I recognized God was trying to tell me through their chaste love that I was lovable. And that's when everything changed for me, when I opened up to receive what God wanted to give rather than what I had been doing up until that point, which is the way a lot of Christians live our life, trying to earn God's love, trying to prove myself worthy of the Lord's love. And all of us need that conversion sometime over the course of our life, from trying to earn the love of God to just letting Him love us, to being willing for Him to love us in that way. I have one sister who I guide spiritually, who sometimes in her prayer is about basically to go into ecstasy. And frankly, the way that it would touch her and what she's really afraid of is starting to shriek like a woman in orgasm when the presence of God within is just overwhelming her. And in the midst of other sisters praying before Jesus at the same time, that's the last thing she wants to be heard doing. And so she puts up unbelievable walls to her entire prayer, lest that experience occur. And I had to say, listen, let God love you the way He wants to. Don't be afraid of the rest of it. I have a sense He's not going to do that to you unless He wants you to grow in humility by the stares of all the other sisters. And that then would be a way He's loving you too. But we need to make that room for God truly to love us. That's what the Christian life is all about. You know, most of us, when we come to receive Jesus in Holy Communion, receive so little of the graces that He wishes to give us when He feeds us, because we don't really want Him to love us that much. Sometimes we can just convince ourselves that we're unworthy of it. And in a sense, we're right. We are. But because of that, we say, too good to be true, I just don't want it to happen, and we close ourselves. Not because we hate Him, but in a lot of cases because we don't love ourselves the way He loves us. We need to let Him love us to the extreme. Last point. Tomorrow we celebrate All Saints Day. And that's supposed to be one day our feast day. God willing, if we're able to respond to the vocation that God has given each of us to become a true saint. But that whole path to sanctity begins with what St. Paul says today. It means allowing God to love us to the full, putting up no obstacles, and to become united with God through His love that we say, "I love you too," in response. That is the Christian life. As we prepare for this great feast day, we thank the Lord for the gift of His love. And in this year of faith, we repeat with St. John, "I believe in the love God has for us." Praise be Jesus Christ.